to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, please. It's hard to believe that all that stuff goes on all the time in America, but it really does. And you know why? There's a lot of money in it. A lot of money in it. It's amazing how much money is associated with that stuff. So take a look at our table later on. Pray about it. It's a big undertaking for sure. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read the first seven verses. I read them last week, and I preached the first half of this message last week. And this is the flip side of that. This is the continuation of that message, and I'll preach it here this morning. So why don't you stand with me? I want to read these seven verses again. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. My Father, I thank you for the privilege to open your word, to read it. We thank you that we have a beautiful copy of it. And Lord, about everybody here carries a Bible with them, or they have their Bible on their phone, and we have it at our fingertips, and we're so thankful for the Word of God. Now, as we come to make the sense of the rest of this text, I pray you speak to hearts, challenge people's lives, and Lord, those that listen by way of the internet also, their hearts would be touched and changed. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I started last week preaching a sermon out of this text, and it was entitled Walking in Love. And if you remember, let me give you just a quick review. But in the text, Paul first presents the positive truths about godly love, but that's what we looked at last week. And he gave a plea in verses 1 and 2. He said, be ye therefore followers as God, as dear children. And then he said, walk in love. And he presents all these positive godly truths, and he said basically the plea was this: you are to be a follower. You are to be an imitator. You are to be a mimicker of God. You are to be conformed more and more into the image of Jesus. Because God wants us to walk in love, and we sang this morning, holy, 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 God also wants us to walk in holiness. And so he used the word, be it therefore, and that referred back to the things at the end of chapter 4, it always does, where he said, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And so we are to be kind. Because God is kind, we are to be kind. Because God is forgiving, we are to be forgiving. Because God is tenderhearted, we're to be tenderhearted. And because God is love, we are to be people of love. Now, God's love, you know, I hope you know. If not, maybe you'll get it now. But God's love brought man's forgiveness and his forgiveness to us, a sinful, rebellious, wretched, vile mankind, because of our, even though in our condition, God still loved us. By sending his son to die in our place, he offered the world the free gift of eternal life and fellowship with him, praise the Lord. Now, God's love is forgiving. God is a forgiver. We saw, there was the plea, then we saw the example. The example was Jesus Christ. Now, I want to repeat some of the things I said last week just very quickly again. Divine love is unconditional. Have you ever thought about Romans 5:8? In that while we were yet sinners, Jesus still died for us. You were wretched, you were miserable, you were vile, you were wicked, but God didn't say, well, just as soon as you get your act cleaned up, then maybe I'll think about saving you. He did that while we were yet sinners. This isn't reformation. This is salvation. And it chooses to love unconditionally. And by the way, God chooses to love, and it depends entirely on the person who loves, not on the merit or the attractiveness or the response of the one that wants to receive the love. It's not that person. It's the one who extends the love, which is true in our relationships, by the way. So God's love is forgiving. It's unconditional. It's self-sacrificing. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He loved us unconditionally while we were yet sinners. He sacrificed himself on the cross of Calvary. And when a person reaches out for them in salvation, he forgives them of all of their sin. That's God's love. And we are to be imitators of that love. And Jesus is the pattern. Now, unfortunately, the text takes a radical change of direction in verse number 3. And this is the perversion of God's love. Let me read verses 3 and 4 again. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, this is the perversion of God's love. Obviously, those things in those two verses are not the love of God. They don't express the love of God. Let me remind you of something or teach you something. Whatever God establishes, Satan always counterfeits. Always does that. For instance, when God established love, and is in this text, Satan established a counterfeit love. In contrast to godly, unselfish, forgiving, kind, humble love, the world's love is lustful and it is self-indulgent. Listen, it is based on fulfilling your needs, your desires, and meeting your own expectations, and it's all about you. It has nothing to do with others. God's love is unconditional. Worldly love is reciprocal. I'll love you if. That's not God's love. God's love is, I love you. Worldly love is reciprocal. It gives little, hoping to get much. Speaking of that kind of love, Jesus said, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You see, genuine love is not all about me. But the love that we read about here in verses 3 and 4, that's all about me. The romantic love of the world, it's touted in books, songs, and movies. Lustful desires are seen as genuine love, but they're not genuine love. They're fake. They're phony. A desire for that kind of love leads to immorality. It leads to impurity because that kind of love is selfish, destructive, deceptive, and it's a counterfeit of God's love. And yet the world, and Chris pointed some of that out, the world is rampant with that stuff. It is a conditional love. It is a self-centered love. It's not concerned with commitment. It's concerned with satisfaction. It's not concerned with giving. It's concerned with getting. Now, I want you to look at this text again. But fornication. Fornication is the word that we get our English word pornography from, porneia. And it refers to all sexual sin. And by the way, all sexual sin, this is obvious, is a sin against God. All sin is always a sin against God. All sexual sin, and by the way, any sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage between a man and a woman, it is sinful. And any other marriage, by the way, is sinful as well, and you probably know that. But they're ungodly, and they're just wicked. So they're all against God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That was an amen, that's what that was. Verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, more specifically, the blood of Jesus. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body's not even my body to do with what I want to do with it. My body belongs to the Lord. Uncleanliness fits in here as well. Go a little further. It says in verse 3, all uncleanliness. Now, this is a different Greek word than porneia. I won't even try to say it. But here's what it refers to. It refers to unclean and filthy. Pornography would fit in there. It has to do with immoral thoughts. Immoral thoughts are sinful thoughts too. Passionate ideas, fantasies, and every other form of sexual corruption, which, by the way, pornography leads to a lot of sexual corruption. The ministry that my wife endeavors to get going for the glory of God is the lustful, wicked desires of very evil people. And this world is full of evil people. If you want to read more, and I guess we might just as well read more, you're still in 1 Corinthians, are you still in 1 Corinthians, whatever? Turn to chapter 5 now. You were in chapter 6, right? Turn to chapter 5, verse 1. This is unbelievable that this was happening in a church. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Fornication in the church, it has no place. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. This goes beyond, this is incest. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that ye have done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already. Oh no, Paul was judgmental, can you believe it? Judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, we read a few verses in chapter 6, but go over to verse 13 of that sixth chapter. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. I mean, that's about as clear as you can get. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and, I'll read it again, ye are not your own. Now, Paul shows that there is no place in the life of a believer for this type of activity. Every form of sexual immorality is an expression of self-will. That's why it's fake. That's why it's phony. They are forms of greed. They are forms of covetousness. And they express a counterfeit love. Real love seeks to purify. And it seeks the purity of others. And it is unselfish. Sometimes, what are the results of this fake counterfeit love? You know what happens sometimes? Spouses are forsaken. Children are neglected. Homes are destroyed. Look at the rest of verse 3. I didn't tell you, but go back to Ephesians 5. He says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The sins of fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness ought not to even be named among Christians. There are no way justified, and they should never be tolerated. They're wrong as wrong can be wrong. They're wrong. Saints, the word saints there at the end of verse 3, saints are holy ones. And those who are holy have nothing to do with this, with that which is unholy. And in this context, Paul took God's love and compared it to fake love, and he said, this fake love, this is unholy. And here he mentions more sins that have no place in the life of a saint. So he goes on in verse 4. Because some of you are going to say, well, that never happened to me. Well, let's look at the next ones. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know what filthiness has to do with? Filthiness has to do with general obscenity. Any talk that is degrading or disgraceful. It's the same thing used down there in verse 12 where it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You don't even talk about them. Foolish talking, you might say somebody's got a gutter mouth. It has no point except to give an air of dirty, filthy worldliness. Like, I don't know, dirty jokes. Do you ever laugh at dirty jokes? Shame on you if you do. They're not holy. There's nothing holy about them. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, it's just entertainment. If it's ungodly entertainment, it's still ungodly. Jesting. Jesting refers to talk that is more pointed and determined. It carries the idea of quickly turning something that is said or done, no matter how innocent, into that which is obscene or suggestive. We call it perverted. I knew a man, and another lady in our church knew the same guy, and she looked at me one day, and she goes, he's a perb. I'm like, and you know what? It was all with his mouth. It's all with his mouth. It's the type of person who uses every word and every circumstance to display his immoral wit. It's the talk show host who is never at a loss for sexual innuendos. They come from a heart that is given over to moral filthiness. I've known people like that. Most guys in here have known people like that. Maybe some of you ladies have known people like that. Some of you that go to college may even know people that are like that now, and possibly even some high schoolers. Because it even happens oftentimes as boys get older, older teen boys even begin to get involved with it. Because as Chris pointed out, the pornography starts at 11. Their minds are already triggered in that direction. Now, instead of being involved in immorality or filthy speaking, the believer's mouth should be involved, what did it say at the end of verse 4? In giving of thanks. Thanksgiving, which is coming up this week, is an expression of unselfishness, and his focus is on others. The unloving, selfish person doesn't give thanks because they think they deserve it. I have a right to this. This is all, it's all about me anyway. An ungodly person wants to make others unholy, and a holy person wants to make other people holy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the plea is to walk in love and be an imitator of God's love. The pattern is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two verses give us the perversion of not walking in love, or the fake, immoral, lust-filled, personal gratitude, whatever else you want to say. And then I want you to notice in verses 5 through 7, I want you to notice the punishment. For this ye know. Now, Paul had pastored the church at Ephesus. They knew what he was about to say. So he said, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now that is a very important phrase in this text, and I'll get to it. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And when you read about the wrath of God, trust me, it's not a good thing. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So he says, first, for this you know, he pastored here in Ephesus previously. He had taught them. They know what he's about to say. And basically what he's saying is this: God will not tolerate sin forever. Perverted love leads to punishment, and sin has no place in the family of God. And those who are characterized by the sins that Paul mentions here will be condemned. They have, he said in verse 5, they have no inheritance in the kingdom. That's what he said. If this is a person's life pattern, if you are habitually overwhelmed with immorality, impurity, greed, a person who lives like this, I'll try to explain this a little bit more, so don't jump over the edge yet. They do not belong to God. They just don't. It would contradict Romans chapter 6. It would contradict 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It would contradict the entire sixth chapter of Romans. So this kind of a lifestyle testifies to a sinful nature. Now, I didn't say a person can't have it a moment or two or whatever, but the fact of the matter is this testifies of a sinful nature. The kingdom of God and Christ refer to the spirit of salvation. The redeemed and the place of, well, what we would guess would call heaven or eternal joy. The kingdom rule of God in Christ includes the present church. It includes the future millennium and the eternal state in glory, which I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you. But it's not sinless perfection. But I will say this. It is the basic life pattern does not reflect this lifestyle. That's like, well, what if a person is really saved? One of two things will happen. They will either be chastised by God or they will die a premature death. That's what will happen. By the way, it can be dangerous for Christians. Now, I mentioned that one phrase, let no man deceive you. It can be very dangerous for Christians to give assurance of somebody who said a prayer somewhere and continues to live this lifestyle like it's just the greatest thing ever and say, yeah, that's okay, God loves you, you're still saved. Don't tell them that. You're given, you very well might be giving them a false sense of security. Now, I believe in the eternal security of the believer. But my goodness, let's continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Maybe I should have read this whole chapter. I want you to notice what it said here. Verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. I didn't know homosexuality was in the New Testament. Well, it is. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor doers shall... I'm sorry, I lost my place. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But look at verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but you're not that anymore. You know, there have been people that have been saved out of that ungodly lifestyle, and God forgives them, and they live a holy life, and they qualify to be called, what it said earlier in the text in Ephesians chapter 5, as saints, holy ones. But none of this stuff has any place in the child of God, and there is not one person that has ever committed any of these gross sins that God cannot reach down and touch that person and save that person. There is no such thing except one sin that is an unforgivable sin, and that one sin would be the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, I know I'm a Christian, but let me go back to that text again in Ephesians 5. Let no man deceive you. Empty words can be full of error. They can be devoid of truth. They can be deceptive. You know what the worst deception is? It's self-deception. When you think something very highly of yourself and you really aren't. Ultimately, the target of God's judgment is this particular thing. If a person is a child of God and lives like this, has a pattern of life like this, he'll face the chastening hand of God. I said this a moment ago. And he can certainly die a premature death. But Pastor, God is love. But I know. But God is also holy and just. He is. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's people get softer and softer as we move along. And like now we're at 2020, soon to be 2021. But it seems like where people were back in the 1960s and 70s, where I was raised, to where they are now, man, there is a major softness going on among people in all kinds of different areas of life. But if God is love, yes. But God, didn't we sing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty? And that's what Isaiah said. Holy, holy, holy. When you come to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and the four living creatures of the beast are around, and they're worshiping God, and they're worshiping Jesus around the throne of God, and don't they say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty? That's what they say. Now, God is holy. And God will never sacrifice his holiness on the altar of his love. Now, let me say a few things. Last week, I asked you in the message, have you been forgiven? And I tried to show you how bad sin was. And I tried to show you what it took God to do to save your soul. Today, I have that same question, then I have a couple other questions. How is your love? Is your love kind? Is it tender-hearted? Is it forgiving? Is it unconditional? Well, if my spouse does this, 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 and this, then I love her. Okay, that means it's conditional and not unconditional. Is it sacrificial? Is it humble? Because that's what God is. Is it real? Or is it perverted? Do you participate in some of these sins? You say, well, it's not my whole lifestyle. Okay. Do you participate in some of these sins? You shouldn't. They should be confessed and forsaken. They have no place in the child of God. People lust, and then there are Christians fall into some of this stuff as well. Pornography. I forgot the figure she gave, but pornography, if it starts at the age of 11, but the fact of the matter is, I worked in factories. It's all over the place. And now you have it. I don't carry my phone to church on Sunday. But now you have it right at your fingertip if you want it. I was talking to somebody one day. I walked into a pastor's office, and his computer screen, when you walk through the door, you can see a screen. And I was with another pastor, and I think it was Jeff Edwards, if some of you remember Jeff, before he moved to Pennsylvania. But I walked in there, and Jeff's a big tall guy. Of course, everybody's tall compared to me. But he walks in, and he says, what is that? And there was on his screen was a woman who had no clothes on from her belly button up. And then he said this. It just popped up. Well, I don't know anything about computers. I don't even know how. I can't figure out how to turn most of mine, rather than, you know, I just don't use a computer. I'm not a computer person. And I guess I'm getting to be useless because I can't use a computer or something, but whatever. But so I was talking to somebody about that, a missionary, and finally he says, Brother Jeff, those things just don't pop up. Somebody had to touch something one time before, and then they start rolling in. Now, I told a man this in my office several years ago, and he one-upped me. I said, I think you need to go home. He had a pornography problem. I said, you need to go home. It was all on the internet. I said, son, have your wife put some kind of a block on that thing. I met with him a week later. I said, did you do that? He says, I did something better, Pastor. I decided I don't need that computer, and I took it out, and I threw it in the barn. I thought, man, you one-upped me on that. But that's what he did. He wanted freedom, and he wanted victory. He's like a radical move. This would be radical for most people today, including kids. Get rid of your phone for a while. You're not married to it. Well, some of you are married to it, to be honest. Go get one of those flip phones. You know, that you can make a phone call and receive a text. They're my favorite phone. They're so simple. I can even figure out most of the stuff to do on it, and they don't do much stuff. But the fact of the matter is, this stuff has no place in our life as believers. Amen, Pastor. Now, before I close, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that God loves everybody. And I don't care what the sin is. And I'll even stretch it because of the context of this morning. If you're a sex trafficker, and I doubt there's any here, you know God can forgive those people and they can inherit the kingdom of heaven just like you or I can. It took just as much grace to save you as it does to save anybody. We're all just as bad as everybody else. But there is no sin that God cannot forgive except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But all immorality, God can forgive that, and he will forgive that. And if you're a true believer, part of the family of God, and perhaps even part of the church, you can struggle with some of the things that I mentioned about Satan's counterfeit love. And you really ought to confess it and forsake it. You can have passions, and you can have lust that is sinfully wrong. All the way from pornography to acts of immorality, it's selfish, it's conditional, and they just don't fit in. I did a mini-series. I've had two messages in it. It was going to be four, but it's going to be actually be three now because I'm preaching part of it here. And I was going to talk about letting Jesus be Lord of your passions. And Jesus does need to be the Lord of our passions. Also, immorality in any form can be forgiven. And it can be forsaken. Some of you say, it's strong. It's strong. But it can be forsaken. It is possible for those who find this part of their lifestyle, if they are a believer, I'm going to say it for a third time, that you could die a premature death or suffer severe chastisement from God. Now, I didn't mention all the sexual sins in that message. Paul doesn't mention them, but I want to mention more sexual sins very quickly before I close. So I have a list of nine of them that I find in the Bible. Fornication. Most of you that know anything know what that means, including premarital sex, has no place in the life of a Christian. Homosexuality, this is just as wicked as the devil himself. I don't care what the government says. Incest, that we read about in 1 Corinthians 5, is wicked. Bestiality, do not be surprised. Homosexuals can get married. The transgenders are going to push for their rights. They probably will get them. Don't, and as sick as this sounds, don't be shocked when somebody says, I want to marry my dog. Don't let it surprise you. Rape is sin. Prostitution is sin. I had a cousin who was a prostitute. You know how she justified it? It was my job. That's how I make my money. She was telling my mother, they were sitting at a kitchen table, and she's telling, can you imagine telling grandma that hamper sitting at the kitchen table? Wow. And I'm like, she justified it. That's how she justified it. Harlotry, adultery, lust and pornography. And I'll give you one more that does happen sometimes in Christian homes. Defrauding. That's in 1 Corinthians as well. But you know what that is? That's when a married couple refrain physical relationships from the other spouse. And that's just as sinful as well. So there's a whole list of sexual sins in the Bible. Those, I got references for all of those. They cannot have a part in our life, beloved. They just can't. It's not godly. It's not holy. It just can't be there. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we watched that presentation this morning, and we understand that sex trafficking is a humongous problem. All these young ladies being exploited, young men are being exploited as well all over the world. And when we talk about confessing the sins of our nation, this is one of them. It's awful. It's just awful. But Lord, there might be somebody here either watching this or sitting in the sanctuary this morning that deals with some of this stuff. they need to take a good look at their salvation. If they enjoy this as a habitual lifestyle, as no conviction, no chastisement, nothing, you know, everything is just great. You really have to wonder when Paul said they will not inherit the kingdom of God if they're a believer or not. But the wrath of God, and that's not a good thing. But there might be true believers here that struggle some with pornography, struggle some with lust, fantasy thinking, jesting, foolish talking, all those things that Paul mentions. They see it as just entertainment. It's not entertainment. It has no place in our life. And I pray that you would call those to salvation that need to be saved. And I pray that you would convict, and I mean get all over people that have some of these things in their life. It has no place in the life of the believer. And then some of the sins that happens in Christian homes. Defrauding. Bad magazines. Bad music that promotes this stuff. It's got to go. Lord, we want to be a people that can be used of you. But where holiness is sin, sin and holiness, they're not compatible. Help us to live a holy, righteous, godly life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to have every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want you to examine your own life. And I want you to be painfully honest with yourself and with God. And where are you with some of that stuff? And get it right. And keep it right. Now you can pray sitting in your seat right there. You might need to confess something. I don't know. I don't need to know. I'm not a priest. You have your own priestly ministry. You don't have to tell me. But you need to tell the Lord. And you need to make it right with him. Go ahead, Faith. God bless you this morning. My wife has slipped out. She's at her table out there stopping at some information. Learn more about that. Pray about maybe you can be, how you can be involved. Somehow she listed several ways there and whatever the Lord would have you to do with it. If nothing else, take a prayer card and pray for it. This is a ground floor, like we got nothing except we're waiting for the papers to come back from the government with our 501c3 because it's just its own ministry. But that's all we got so far. But it's a start. Believe it or not, you don't know how many hours she's got in getting that crazy thing. Anytime the government's involved with something, it can be a nightmare. You ever notice that? Anyway, let's stand together. Our Father, we thank you for the word. Not everything in this word is pleasant to speak about. Not all of it is pleasant to hear. It's like a two-edged sword. It pierces us. It's supposed to pierce us. and for those that it pierce the hardest and deepest. Lord, it is my prayer, and I know it's your will, that they get it right. Give them freedom. Give them victory. I don't mean victory here and victory there, but I mean a lifestyle of freedom and victory over this fake love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go grab some